Grazie mille, grazie Alberto. Volevo ringraziare soprattutto Roma, Alessandro Coppola e tutto il team della Resilienza, così efficienti che hanno portato anche un tempo da Resilienza per provare il punto. Farò la mia presentazione in inglese perché il C40 è fondamentalmente un'organizzazione globale anche per supporto a Barbara Anton. Però le chiederei di andare indietro due slide. Ok, perfetto. Vabbè, questa non importa, quella successiva. Grazie. Allora, so C40. C40 is actually another city network very similar to ECLI, and in fact we collaborate on several things. And it was created by a mayor, Mayor Ken Livingstone, in 2005, because he was exactly facing the challenge of developing the climate change plan for London, and he realized that he needed help and started to ask other cities what were their best practices, and out of that, he had the brilliant idea of creating a network. C40 is primarily focused on mega cities, so capital cities or cities with 3 million people up. And why cities? Fundamentally, because cities are at the front run of climate change. And I'm sorry for the messy heading here, but as you know also, and I think the literature that 100 Resilient Cities has addresses this too, by 2030, pretty much most of the world population will be living in cities and mega cities. And that data is not here, but the set point of that is about 70% of these projected cities will be in either coastal areas or, in any event, vulnerable to flooding and water issues. Now, the interesting thing is that this is happening at a very fast rate. You saw Barbara's slide earlier on Melbourne and how rapid Melbourne is growing. But actually, this recently issued report, the new climate economy report, assessed that about there is one Stockholm per week happening, in the sense that 1.4 million people per week worldwide are currently moving into cities. And so C40, and I presume also networks such as ECLI, work with cities because really we are close to the people, much more than national government or intergovernmental organizations. But most of all, because mayors and city administrations are often the one who have to deal with the headaches, as many of you here probably know, but also have influential power and can possibly influence also national policymakers. Next slide, thanks. So for C4, I mean, we all know, unfortunately, we have witnessed how much city adaptation resilience is becoming critical, and especially when it's water-related. I have here some data about the recent years, 41 weather disasters in 2013, 2 billion people affected in the 9 years that go from 2000 to 2009. Our colleague here from Copenhagen, Jeppe, will explain later on how Copenhagen basically restructured its entire infrastructure plan due to cloudbursts and cloudburst management. So look forward to that. Next, thank you. So what do we have? So C40, as I was saying, has mega cities. We're now 70, so forget about C40. It's completely contradictory because we're not 40 anymore. We're 70. And maybe one day we'll be 100, and so we'll have C100 and 100 resilient cities. But this is the spread worldwide. In Europe, there are 19 cities, and I actually manage the relationship with all of them. And Rome, Milan, and Venice are part of the Italian C40 cities. Next, thanks. These are, our mayors. I'm going to go next because I just want to get to the gist of it. So the power of C40 is we represent about 10% of the current global population, 21% of the current GDP, basically next to China in terms of power. And at about 5 to 10% of the global emissions, and that's the equivalent of Japan. So it is a real engine. It's a coalition of social, economic, and environmental impact, just such as other networks coalitions. Next, thanks. So what is our concept? It's just we bring, as I was saying, together with Ken Livingstone when he started this, he just starts calling, we bring technical experts, and primarily, you know, experts in adaptation and resilience is one of them, but also energy transfer. I'll explain later all the other sectors. But to share best practices or war stories. And the hope is that in by doing so, we accelerate the learning curve, but also reduce the risk of making mistakes. And also provide perhaps opportunities to join forces and help shift the demand with the climate sector. So for instance, in Latin America, 7 cities got together to procure hybrid trucks, and they were able to substantially reduce the premium price with the manufacturer. So, you know, that's also another byproduct of the city coalitions. Next. So these are our 6 areas of impact: transport, sustainable communities, which covers also smart cities and climate positive projects similar to what was shown earlier for Stockholm, energy, water and adaptation, which has 3 networks connecting Delta City, cool cities and climate change risk assessment, finance and economic development, and solid waste. Next, thank you. So adaptation. As I was saying, adaptation is really critical and is becoming more and more front runner issue for our cities. In fact, of those 6 areas that you saw, adaptation is the one that has the highest number of membership within C40. And the membership is free, by the way, but when I say membership, I include like working groups. And we do have a very robust also data gathering effort to really prove the effectiveness of our city's impact, but also to understand how they operate. And 98% of our cities have declared last year the city climate change and climate change catastrophe. So, you know, specifically shocks, but also stresses, is really very much top of their priority. And 75% of them are reporting that they are developing or have developed some sort of risk assessment of their city's climate change vulnerability. Next. So as far as water-related networks, there are 2 principal ones within the C40 Adaptation Initiative. The first one is Francesco Lavigna here, by any chance. There you are. So you're there too. So the first one is the Climate Change Risk Assessment Network, which basically helps cities to develop common methodologies on how to assess climate change projections, which is a very difficult art, and I understand that there's still a lot in process there, which is one more reason why it's really helpful for cities to really learn from each other. So this is the first workshop we held in November of last year in Rio. So your colleague here, Francesco Lavigna, was there with 10 other cities. You know, there was like New York, Rio, of course, Dar es Salaam, Sao Paulo, London, Barcelona. There was also Brian Lipper from 100 Resilient Cities and a couple of other chief resilience officers from 100 Resilient Cities. And so this is an example of how we bring cities together. Currently, there are bilateral conversations happening very much as a result of that, such as, you know, Barcelona and Rio are now developing similar methods of data management for resilience projection as a result of the connection made in this workshop. Next. And then we have, as I said, there were 2 critical water-related networks. The other is the Connecting Delta Cities Network. This is primarily for cities that are really on river deltas or by the ocean. And this is very much, Rotterdam is here, right? So you know this very well. This is, and thank you for being here as well. This network was created fundamentally by Rotterdam. So it's very much a city-led network. And then C40 and Rotterdam joined hands and incorporated and expanded it. We recently here, just as I was saying earlier, added Venice and Singapore, actually, also. And it's another very strong network with a lot of sharing, interesting enough, from like Asian cities and European cities and North American cities. Thank you. And I just want to say about the Connecting Delta Cities that it's really worth visiting the website of the network, Connecting Delta Cities, because there's a lot of literature material there. It's a very, Rotterdam is doing an incredible job at really sharing their best practices way beyond the network. They publish a book every year with all the cities' case studies, so it's really worth checking that out for cities that are being challenged with water issues. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about a city that I'm very close to because I was for 15 years in New York. And for the past 5 years there, I did work for the Bloomberg administration. And I was actually quite involved with the green infrastructure plan in New York, from gray to green, it's called. And that's precisely one of those plans that were developed by the Department of Environmental Protection, but very much in collaboration with intra-agency working groups to do what Barbara was basically addressing earlier, really implement and integrating, I like that shift, water management plan, primarily focused on stormwater management practices, which entail really shifting the New York infrastructure from concrete gray infrastructure to green. And they did so, and they're doing so. This plan has to be implemented by 2030 with several stormwater best management practices. The main rationale behind this, which I think is the rationale behind a lot of these green infrastructure plans, is, as they say in Roma, calma e gesso. In other words, you need to slow down the percolation rate of the water. And that's the whole point of going back to green infrastructure, because by slowing down the water percolation rate and facilitating the retention with bioswale, and in New York they also put stormwater chamber and perforated pipes, by doing so, then, you know, obviously the water doesn't affect the critical infrastructure as quickly. So whether it's sewage overflow or subways, you know, the water is retained and then slowly is released into the waterbed so that it actually provides benefits to the ecosystems. And so, as you can see there, you know, bioswales, green roofs. In New York, we actually even tested blue roofs, which were very interesting. There is already significant impact that is being tracked in this last 4 years since it was launched. And if you go on their website, the progress is reported every year. So one of the medium-term goals is really to reach 1 inch of rain, so 2.5 centimeters of rain, managed with pervious surfaces. That's a huge misspelling, not impervious. The whole point is to switch from impervious to pervious. And so New York is also providing grants to private property owners, as well as very much engaging in community training and stakeholder engagement. And again, if you want to ask me questions about New York during the break, please feel free to do so. Next. Tokyo. So Tokyo is actually very much another C40 cities. I was saying we're a global network, so you'll see some of cities from other continents. But Tokyo is actually a leader in stopping water leakages. And in fact, I should have said so. In New York, when I left in 2012, we were just starting to tackle water leakages. And I was with the Social Housing Agency, which manages all the social housing in New York, about 2,600 buildings, all built in the early 30s, 1930s to 1950s. So, you know, for New York standard, quite old buildings. And we found out that about 40% in some of these residential buildings, water consumption was due to leakages. So it's incredible how underestimated leakages are and in water management. And Tokyo is doing a tremendous job with that because they put real-time leak detection and same-day leak repair, and that has a very positive impact on the rest of the infrastructure. It allows to also better manage roads and other services. And so they were able to reduce the leakage rate from 20 to 3.6. And really, most importantly, is even the second stat, to reduce water waste by half, fundamentally, from 150 million cubic meter to 68. And also to substantially reduce greenhouse gas mitigation, because they did so using some very energy efficiency energy efficient pumps. And on the C40 website, there is a full case study on Tokyo, if cities are interested. Next, Jakarta. So Jakarta is actually a very critically challenged city. I think that it, if I correct, it isn't, I don't think anyone from Jakarta is here, right? No, that, no. But in any event, it stands in between 13 waterways. I mean, it's really very, very challenged. And the current projections are that by 2030, it will be, how many minutes? Five? Okay, thank you. That by 2030, about 80% of Jakarta could be 5 meters below water. So they really need to move fast. And they're doing an incredible job at engaging community leaders and the private sector, so very much the kind of integrating approach to handle this. Of course, they're doing some very intensive capital infrastructure things, such as building walls, seawalls similar to the Mose and other things. Next. Melbourne was already spoken about, so I'm not going to talk too much about it. But fundamentally, of course, drought and heat waves are major challenges. And so their goal is to increase the canopy by 7.6%. Melbourne won the C40 Climate Leadership Award for Adaptation in 2014. It's an award that we give every year. And so again, I do encourage you to go on our website and read their case study. Next, there is New Orleans, which I'm not going to talk too much about because I think they're here, right? Is the CRO? Oh, there you are. Okay, perfect. But in any event, again, I think that, as you will probably explain much better later, your mantra is slow, store and use, and then drain. So back to that, you know, reducing the water percolation rate. Next. This is us and 100 resilient cities and Rome in the middle. We're very happy that Rome is doing this and very much encourage you all to go forward and do it. And we'll certainly be committed to collaborate as much as we can. Next. And again, totally screw up that heading, sorry. But I want to mention this, and then I'm basically done, because first of all, we're doing this with ICLEI as well, but also with UN Habitat and UCLG. So another piece that C40 is very much doing is what we call the International Diplomacy, the Compact of Mayors, which will be presented at the COP21. Now, currently, the main focus is on the mitigation front, because the idea is that cities will show up at the COP with very clear voluntary adopted emission reduction targets, but in a consistent methodology, and therefore in doing so, you know, the intention is that more resources, financial and otherwise, will be given directly to cities as opposed to being trickled down through various authorities. But the other piece of the compact, which is developing, is also on adaptation. And cities are also invited to report their adaptation plans. And so I'm just flagging this out for 100 resilient cities because I do think that is an important piece to keep in mind. And so the idea, again, is to bring more resources to cities to also develop and implement, so especially, adaptation local climate action plans. Next. This is, you know, we can skip this one. We can skip. Next. Thank you. This is the reach of C40. You know, it's a very extensive communication team, social network, Twitter, whatever will be next. I'm sure they're already coming up with something else. But the point is that, again, we amplify a lot what our cities do right, but also the opportunity for other cities to share their best practices. And next. Here it is. So, is this going ahead? Where is Rotterdam? So Rotterdam, you guys developed this CDC app, or is it still under development? It's already rolled. Extended to the rest of the network. Yeah, so this is great. So this is just another example of how you can make cities resilient and sharing best practices. So Rotterdam developed this app to really better identify critical areas that are being updated as part of their climate change adaptation plan. But then there is also a lot of data collection through this app and best practices. And now we are actually seeking funding within C40 to share this app with all the other 15 cities that are part of the Connecting Delta Cities Network. And
And this is it.
So Alberto, I think I'm on time. Thank you very much.